Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio, a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota National Guard, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, and Beyond the Yellow Ribbon. Get updates and show information at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Your host is former Command Senior Enlisted Leader for the Minnesota National Guard, retired Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham.
Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Doug Wortham, and today we're recording on location at the Minnesota Wild headquarters here in St. Paul, Minnesota. And we're here to learn about the Minnesota Wild Team Dog Program. And co-hosting with me today is Wayne Peterson, who's the Minnesota Wild Senior Director, Community Relations and Hockey Partnerships. Wayne, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Well, welcome. Happy to have you here on our campus.
Yeah, we love it. Thank you for hosting us. It's
Absolutely.
A great facility. And one of the best things about being here right now is that we've got two of the service dogs that we'll talk about throughout the interview sitting right here to my left, to your right, and they're actually kind of calm right now, so that's interesting.
Yeah, 10 minutes ago they weren't so calm.
They were racing pretty good.
Yes, they were.
Well, as I said, Wayne's going to join me as a co-host throughout the entire show. We're going to talk about the Minnesota Wild Team Dog Program. And Wayne, I just thought maybe you could help us understand a little bit about how the whole partnership started with the Minnesota Wild. Why did this program come into existence?
Well, that's a very good story. I think it was back in 2017, actually, when a former colleague of mine, Jamie Spencer, he had two children in school at Woodbury. And one of the kids' teachers was a volunteer at Coco's Heart Dog Rescue, just located in Somerset, Wisconsin. And Coco's Heart, I didn't know this then, but whenever they took in a litter of puppies, they always named them after a theme. And they took in a litter of puppies back in 1718, among many, I'm sure, but they named them after wild players. And so the teacher sent a picture to Jamie. Jamie put it on my desk, and I said, we have to do something about this. And so back in 1718, that photo led to our first ever Minnesota Wild Canine Calendar, and we sold out. They sold incredibly well, and plus we raised $50,000. $50,000 was split, $25,000 to Coco's Heart and $25,000 to the Minnesota Wild Foundation. I said, boy, we got something going here. This is incredible. And I knew at that time there were three NHL teams that had a team dog. I want to say it was the Capitals, the Rangers, and the Blues. And so I brought the idea up to our CEO, Matt Maka, and owner, Craig Leopold. I said, what do you think about getting a team dog? But this is what I think we should do with our team dog. And they said, let's go. And they gave us the green light. And so now we've had seven team dogs since. 1819 was the first year we had a team dog, and that was Breezer. And our most current one, who's yet to be a service dog but is in training, is Rookie.
And for people who come to the Minnesota Wild home games, if they go up on the second level between first and second period, they'll be able to meet Rookie.
Yes, every section 208, to be specific. Rookie, like all the six other dogs before her, go up to section 208 during the first intermission, and they get a chance to not only meet the dog, and this year it's Rookie, but also the wonderful trainer, Mike.
And we'll be meeting Mike a little bit later on. And here's what I know every game that I go to, because, as you know, I'm a season ticket holder. We split a season with our niece, and it's always packed right around that section,
right,
in between the first and second. I don't think they really care so much about Mike. It's about the dog that's there that day, you know.
Well, yes. Whenever I walk in the office every day with Rookie, and everybody's so excited to see Rookie, and it's like, hey,
Wayne, who?
I'm here too. Good morning, everybody.
Well, let's talk about that a little bit, because you know, the dog has to live with somebody,
right,
and I understand that there's an opportunity for you and other employees here at the Minnesota Wild headquarters to take the dog for the night, or,
well,
you know, have some time with the dog. How does that work?
Well, each dog has had a primary foster, and our first dog, Breezer, was fostered by our CEO, Matt Maka, and his wife, Kim.
Okay.
And they're dog lovers, and they have a dog at home named Darby. And Matt, you know, brought Breezer into the office most days, and Breezer was at every home game. And then at the end of the year, and I should explain this too, is that Cocoa's Heart introduced us first to Soldier 6. And they're a nonprofit, local nonprofit, that train dogs to become service dogs. And so we connected with Soldier 6 when this program first started. And so Mike from Soldier 6 has trained all of our team dogs. And now all of our previous team dogs are service dogs for a deserving veteran. So we get a dog pretty much every August. We have the dog for the entire season. And then usually May, June, Soldier 6 identifies a veteran to receive the dog. And then that dog becomes their battle buddy or service dog. So wow. People ask, how can you do this? How do you, you know? But it's knowing that what this dog is going to be doing for somebody, and we're going to be talking to Nick later. He can tell you how, you know, firsthand how Brooksy has impacted his life. But so Matt Maka had the first dog, and then we always have a little media ceremony out of gate one when we officially pass the dog on to the veteran. And Matt's an emotional guy, and he loved that Breezer. Yeah. He loved Breezer. And he goes, Wayne, I can't be there for the handoff. I'm going to say my goodbyes, and when it's time to go, I'll text you. You can come get her, and then him. and then after we said goodbye to Breezer, you know, a few days later, Matt came up to me and said, Wayne, that was awesome. We loved it, but don't ever ask me to do that again. Because I guess it's hard. Yeah. So my wife and I, Kelly, who also works here, we've fostered the last four dogs. Brooksy, who is here today, was the first dog that we fostered.
Okay.
And since we also fostered Dino and Hattie and now Rookie. There are other staff. Bella Iverson, our community relations manager, manages the program. There are times when other staff members will take the dog home for a night. They have kids. They have dogs. So some days Rookie comes in just exhausted because, you know, this weekend she was up.
Oh, there's Brooksy right now walking over. I wish our audience could see this. And then we just do have to mention you, you've mentioned all of the dogs except for Hobie and Sally. So that's the seven dogs that have come through the Minnesota Wild dog program, which is just fantastic.
And what's nice, though, is that we get to see them.
Yeah.
We see Brooksy the most, which is awesome. Thank you, Nick. Yeah. But we get to see all of them. All of our dogs were back for Military Appreciation Night.
And I was there, I got to see them, and that was awesome. And so, Wayne, we have just a few minutes here, and I want to make sure we get to a couple of things. Yeah. And I know that you're going to stick with us. Yes. We'll talk to the other guests here. But when the announcement is made for the person that's getting the dog, you said you have a big celebration.
Yep.
But there's another thing that you do in conjunction with really honoring our service members, and that's a Military Appreciation Night. And this year, during Military Appreciation Night, as you've done in the past, you actually awarded or gave someone a road trip with the Minnesota Wild. How long have you been doing that?
Well, you were our first.
I was, yes. Yeah.
What year, that was what, 2019?
It was 1920.
1920.
Yep. Right after I retired.
Yep, so we've done that four times now.
Yeah.
And you were our first, and Nick.
Yeah, we're going to talk to Nick about his experience to Detroit.
Where's our most recent, and we've always managed to do it on Military Appreciation Night on live television.
Yeah.
And I think Nick was surprised.
Well, I will tell you, and, you know, maybe we'll talk about it again with Nick. But, you know,
what a great way to honor veterans. You know, it's just, I love that night. And oftentimes we'll recognize Vietnam War vets or World War II vets, because they didn't get the hero's welcome that they deserved when they came home. And to see these grown men walk off the ice in tears, it means so much.
You know, I was talking to our military producer before the show here. We're talking about the engagement that the Minnesota Wild and really our Minnesota professional sports teams have with our military members. And the great thing that I've seen or that I've recognized is that it's all genuine relationship. You're not doing this because, one, you're getting paid for it. You're not doing it because you feel like you have to. You do it because you want to, because it really means something.
One of my favorite moments of every game is national anthem, John DeCosmaker.
Oh, yeah.
Who is a veteran himself.
Yes, he is, Navy.
And we, right before the anthem, we introduce, you know, the a veteran. And it's very special. The fans, the players, always give them a big reception. At the end of the anthem, when the the veteran is standing right next to John, and he's in the home of the Brave, and John yes. points to the veteran on the ice. That's one of my favorite moments of every game.
It's a very touching moment, and you're right. I mean, the crowd definitely gets behind it and fully supports our military yes. members, and,
as
and
we should.
Appreciate
as
you
we
know,
should.
The way
yes.
they're recognized. Yes. It's awesome. So we've got 45 seconds. You've surprised now for the last, you know, 5 years, right, for the road trip. Is there a kind of a selection process you go through? How do you do that?
Now we got to have a pretty good network, and so we'll just reach out to people, you know, some with Warrior Hockey, for example,
yeah.
Through the National Guard. Great partnership with the National
yeah.
Guard. So that's fun being able to select somebody.
And the great thing is you guys do a really good job of keeping it under wraps.
We
to
try.
Make it a true surprise.
We try.
So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
yeah. My wife knew for like 30
yes.
days or 45
yes.
days
yes.
Well, ahead
we had
of time.
To go to the spouses first.
yeah, right.
You know, make sure it works on your calendars and you don't schedule anything.
Well, hey, this is a great place for us to take a quick break, and then we'll come back and we'll talk to someone from Coco's Heart. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Doug Wortham. I've got a special co-host with me, Wayne Peterson from the Minnesota Wild. And in this segment, we are going to be talking with Ashley Kurtz. Ashley is the Coco's Heart Dog Rescue Director and Founder. So, Ashley, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you so much.
Well, it's great. Thank you for coming down to the Minnesota Wild headquarters as we're doing this special recording. I think it's just a great conversation to have, and really want to know a little bit about Coco's Heart. And I know it was founded in 2009, but why? Why did you start this Coco's Heart?
Sure. Coco was my childhood dog who passed away unexpectedly. It was a very, very hard loss when I was 12 years old. And the only thing that really got me through that was to know I was going to do something in his honor one day. Fast forward, I was around 20 years old and founded Coco's Heart Dog Rescue.
Wow. And then, so obviously, you know, you've got a passion for dogs already. And all of a sudden, somehow, some way, this guy from Minnesota Wild makes a connection with you. I mean, how did that feel? What were you thinking?
Every single thing about this partnership has been so special, including that first reach out. Just to know that such the Minnesota Wild was interested in somehow supporting rescue and bringing light to rescue dogs is something that felt once in a lifetime. It felt so special, and it is so special.
Now, you had mentioned, or Wayne had mentioned, that you were naming these the service dogs after hockey players. Do you remember what was the very first one?
Oh, sure. I think our first one was, do you remember, Wayne, who you noticed?
Oh, I hate to put you on the spot.
I don't,
right there, but always a Minnesota Wild player.
I have a hard time remembering
it,
the
yeah.
team dog names, you know? Is it a male or a female? It's so easy.
Yeah, right.
Well, there's so many wonderful, awesome players to choose from
yes.
that we pair them with who we feel like the personalities match with. So
yeah.
that's always fun for us.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
And what also is fun is the canine calendar, which we still do. But they have a knack of picking a dog, like the Eck pose with the with a puppy, and my gosh, they looked like they belonged together, didn't they?
A little matchmaking on
yes,
site.
Yes, it's incredible.
Well, it's funny you say that because yes. there were a bunch of other team-type photos that they were doing, you know, right around the Christmas holiday.
Yep.
Yeah, they were having a little fun, so I can imagine what kind of fun they're having when they get to spend some time with these dogs. I mean, let's face it, we've got two of them in the room here, and it changes something about the personality, you know. It brightens the room a little bit. People have a good smile on their face. And to your point, Wayne, when we came in this morning and the rookie showed up first, it wasn't, "Hey, Mike, how are you doing?" It was like, "Oh, rookie, come on over," you know. And so Ashley, you get to do this all day long, though. You get to spend all day long with rescues.
We have some great dogs. That is absolutely for sure. And I am very fortunate that I can run a rescue that's able to serve so many animals and so many people.
And so how many rescues do you take, and then how many of them are kind of filtered out so they can go into the service dog program?
Sure. So we work, we welcomed over 2,200 dogs to rescue last year, and we'll work with the Minnesota Wild and Soldier 6 for one dog each year for this partnership. But we've been fortunate enough to work with Soldier 6 throughout the year on other matches.
And do you have a pretty good foster program for those that are not selected to go into the service programs?
Yes. Our entire rescue organization is foster-based, so any animal we welcome into rescue is in one of our several hundred foster homes until they find a forever placement. So whether that be with our partnership or whether that be with just a general forever home, they are in foster homes until that happens.
Wow. And I mean, 2,200 dogs that you welcomed in. I mean, that just seems like an outrageous number to me.
You know, we always smile because it seems outrageous to us too, but it's incredible and it's truly the power of teamwork.
And is this generally because it's a dog that was found? Is it someone that says, you know what, I just can't handle it anymore? Or is it just kind of a mix of everything?
Yeah, it's definitely a mix. We'll take dogs from overcrowded shelters, rural impounds, dogs who are no longer needed or discarded by breeders, owner surrenders, cruelty and neglect cases. Really, any animal that needs help, we try to help. And the big factor there is if we can find a foster family, we can welcome that dog to rescue.
And wait, I would imagine that having one dog to do this with, you know, throughout the year, I mean, that becomes an awful lot. But have you guys ever considered about doing more?
No. One is perfect.
Understand boundaries. We appreciate boundaries, and we love when people have them. That is a great thing.
And let me say it, too. When you talk about partnership, we have a great partnership with Coco's Heart. Obviously, we can't do it without them. Great partnership with Soldier 6. It's really cool how the three of us are working together on this program. And then we were able to bring in two other corporate partners, Cub Foods and Pet Evolution.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And, for example, the canine calendars that we talked about, they're available for sale at all Twin Cities Pet Evolution. And the proceeds from those sales benefit now the Coco's Heart and Soldier 6.
Wow. So let's talk about the funding, though, for Coco's Heart, right? I mean, obviously, It costs money to take care of these dogs, right? And so how do you come up with the funding to do that?
That is a great question, too. And we always say where there's a will, there's a way. We rely on adoption fees and donations to fund our rescue efforts. And so the donation, of course, our first year, especially with the canine calendar, made such a life-changing difference for us to be able to serve our animals. We always try to do whatever is in each animal's best interest. So sometimes that care can be thousands and thousands of dollars per animal. And it really, again, is just that testament to teamwork and finding a way when sometimes ways don't feel possible.
And so somebody's listening right now. I told you we've got 67 different radio stations, a national broadcast. If someone's listening and they're like, you know what, this is a great program, which we know it is, we want to support, especially Coco's Heart, how could somebody support you? Where would they go?
Oh, we would be so grateful. On our website, we have a tab with more information on how to donate. So if you prefer to mail a check or to make an online donation or to find some type of fundraising event or fundraiser that helps support Coco's Heart, we have them all listed there, and we would be truly grateful for that.
I know that when we talk to Soldier 6 here in a little bit about the selection of the dogs, are there certain qualities that you look for? Because I would imagine it's not like they are going to come in and look at 2,200 dogs, right? Mm-hmm. So you probably have to kind of narrow some things down. There's probably some things you got to look for to say, hey, I think we have a good service dog potential for you. Come in and look at these handful. So what do you look for?
Well, we try really, really. We take this partnership very seriously.
Yeah, there we go. That's very serious. We can hear it over there agreeing with us.
Yep, absolutely. And so, yes, we do our very best to find around the time we expect the wild to be ready to consider candidates. We will try to have a handful of candidates for them to consider because it's a group effort, and we want to make sure that we have puppies that we feel like have great potential to be well socialized, to be eager to please, to be first time listeners. We try very hard. But yeah, it's definitely a team effort. And we, around that time that the wild is ready to make their selections, we will do our best to have at least a handful of considerations for them.
They've been great. They always bring the dogs that they think might be a good match to us.
Oh, really?
And a lot of times we're in this room where we're talking right now, and there'll be three or four dogs. And let me tell you, there's a lot of staff who want to come down
of course,
and be a part of that process.
Yeah, but, absolutely.
Mike, who we'll talk to shortly, usually gets the final word.
Yeah.
Bella has a lot of input, too. But they've been fantastic to work with, and look forward to working with them for many more years.
And does it kind of, it seems like maybe the labs are really kind of more of the favor, or what are your thoughts there?
You know, I was just going to say, so when we first started the partnership, we asked Wayne, like, what are some general parameters, and the labs and the Goldens type dogs were definitely high on the list as potential matches. Mm-hmm. But what I love and appreciate so much about you all at the Minnesota Wild and Soldier Six is really it comes down to the dog. And I feel like they've been open to, for example, black dog syndrome is a real problem.
Yeah.
That shelter dogs face, which just essentially means for some unknown reason, the black dogs have a harder time getting the adoption interest in the shelters and the rescues. It could be because there's more of them. It could be because they sometimes don't photograph as well, or because they don't have that unique marking somebody may be drawn to.
Right.
But what I love is that I'm staring right now at two black dogs that they have chosen, and to allow them the opportunity to be representative of rescues and how great they are, but to be black dogs is just so special because they look, you know, to make the best possible placements, but to shed light on how great these dogs are and that they should be a consideration as well, too.
Yeah.
Of our seven team dogs, like, these two are probably my favorite.
Well, you're saying that because they're right behind you.
Oh, no. I think Mike would agree with me, too. Well, but I think they're great dogs.
Ashley, thanks so much for taking a little bit of time to share with us here on Minnesota Military Radio. And thanks for the work you're doing with Coco's Heart and then the partnership, of course, that you have with the Minnesota Wild and Soldier Six.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you so much. And thank you again for this opportunity. It really does wonders for the animals and for the people.
You bet. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. We are recording on location here at the Minnesota Wild headquarters in St. Paul, Minnesota. We're talking to Wayne Peterson, who's the Senior Director for the Minnesota Wild Community Relations and Hockey Partnerships. We're talking about the Minnesota Wild Team Dog Program. Wayne, obviously we talked to you, get a background. We get to have Ashley come in, talk about the shelter, and now we're bringing in the trainer because someone has to actually put these dogs into some training and teach them how to be a service dog. And so Mike Bamer joins us from Soldier Six and is the primary dog trainer for the Minnesota Wild Dog Program. So, Mike, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody.
Yeah, glad to have you here. And so real quick, Soldier Six, right? So normally when we think about that, you have a tie. You didn't serve in the military. However, you are in law enforcement. You've been a police officer for several years, but you have a tie to the military. Maybe you can tell us a little bit about that and your connection and why Soldier Six came into existence.
Absolutely. So back in 2015, my brother-in-law, Ed, he received a service dog quite similar to an organization like Soldier Six. And when he received that dog, he found the value in everything. He saw how the process went. It was free for him. The training was given to him along with a service dog. So he wanted to pay it forward. And this was in California. So he wanted to bring it home to Minnesota. So Ed served 8 years in the U.S. Army. After that, he was a police officer for 20 years. So he's been through it. He's seen it. He understands the everything that you give from your heart, from your person, to your soul, to service. So everywhere you go, you leave a little bit of chunk behind you. And that's kind of what he felt like. He wasn't whole again until he got a service dog. So when he saw the value in this, he wanted to bring it home to Minnesota, and that's when he started Soldier Six along with my sister Dana. And that was back in 2015. And then from that time, from 2015 to 2025, we have now given little more than 260 dogs to our recipients, who range from veterans to first responders. So it's a gift that we want to give to everybody.
And are you the only trainer, or are there multiple trainers?
There's 9 of us total.
Okay, wow. And so how many dogs can you train at one time?
I take a little bit of a lighter load. I have about 12
Well, you
dogs.
Got another full-time job. So.
Correct. Yes. I have 12 dogs assigned to me, and then the rest of the trainers pick up the slack. And we all have our hands on all 260-plus dogs. So anybody can get a hold of us trainers and ask for help and training at any time. But when you're going through your initial training, which is about a year long, you're assigned a trainer, and that is your point of contact with everything. They get you everything that you need as far as resources and training goes, and then we start to wrap you up into the community of Soldier Six, and then we get everybody taken care of.
What was it like for you, you know, obviously being a part of this organization, doing the great work that you do, and then to find out that the Minnesota Wild wants to start a program like this, and you get to be the person that's going to be providing that training and really fostering this partnership?
It was amazing. It was kind of earth-shattering at first. I'm thinking, well, you know, this is a huge partnership. We didn't know how it was going to go at first. And then from day one, the moment I met Wayne and his team, it was day one. We hit the ground running. We were amazed by the amount of support, not only that the Wild gave, but also the following of the Wild, all the fans. And the Excel Center is just been amazing to us. So we can't be more thankful to the Minnesota Wild. This has been an amazing deal.
Again, we're talking about partnerships. We have a great one with Soldier 6. And we all look at Mike as a colleague.
Yeah.
I mean, he comes in a moment's notice. He's at every game with all of our previous team dogs. He eats with us at the pregame meal and press dining. He's well known on our campus and amongst our fans, and we're lucky. He said there's 12 trainers. We got the best. We got the best trainer of the 12, that's for sure.
Oh.
Oh, quit. No, come on. Oh. Keep going now, really.
Okay, keep going.
Exactly. So, you know, obviously, you know, we joked, but it's true. You're still in law enforcement, so you still have a full-time job. Soldier 6 is a full-time job, too.
Correct.
Service dog training. What does it take to train a dog?
We're not training just the dog. We're training the human, and then we're training the human's humans. So their family members, their friends, and everybody that's going to be surrounding them, we take everybody under our wing. So when we have a person, you're going to speak to Nick here in a little bit, and I'm going to use this as an example. Nick has a family, and Nick has a past. Nick has a future, and we want to make sure we understand his past. We want to know his future. So we want to make sure we can encompass that dog into everything that's going to be their life. So when we start training, Nick, for example, he started off with his dog, Brooksy, and revolved training all around Nick and Brooksy. And then as we kept going, you kind of make that spiral a little bit bigger and a little bit bigger. So we bring in his family. We bring in his job. And we went to his place of work, and we trained there. So we got to bring in all his coworkers so they can understand what's going on, what's up with Brooksy, and how do you interact with Brooksy and Nick when they're together at work. So we want to make sure that when we're training them, we're not just training you in a stale environment. We're getting down and dirty in your life. We're going to know everything about you. We want to know everything about you. It's very intimate. We know more about these people than maybe they're therapists, they're psychologists, and we want to make sure that we give them exactly what they're looking for and what they're hoping for so they can get back into their normal world, their society, their group, and feel comfortable going out there with the dog. And be able to make sure that they experience so many experiences with their assigned trainer that we can make sure that they're able to overcome any kind of obstacle and challenge. We don't want them to feel isolated or looked at by others in the public, you know, with eyes on them. We want to make sure they feel ready to go.
So with Rookie, obviously you're in the training process with Rookie the dog. We haven't selected, or you haven't selected someone to receive Rookie as a service dog. So how long is that training then? Once the Minnesota Wild and your partnership and you identify the veteran that's going to receive this dog and it's the right fit, how long does that training process work before you're like, okay, you're good to go now?
Yeah, it's about a year, a little over a year, depending upon the age of the dog and the speed of the person. You know,
sure.
No matter what, when you hold a leash, you have the smart end of the leash and you have the dumb end of the leash. Dog is the smart, human is the dumb. It doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter if you're a trainer, we're still on the dumb end of the leash.
Yeah.
So that's what it takes a while for them to get the repetitions that we're looking for and then be able to hone that dog into that person's specific medical needs, because that's a service dog. The service dog performs a medical need for their person, and we want them to that dog to understand when your person goes through a change, this is what we want you to do, on top of the fine obedience that we're looking for.
So the process of selecting the person, and I don't know if you're best answered or Wayne, but I'm imagining that it's not always necessarily a perfect fit right from the very beginning, or maybe it can't be a fit. You know, so I think, do you have to spend some time with the dog and the prospective trainer or owner to make sure that, yeah, in fact, this is going to work? Otherwise, we cancel, we go to someone else.
We do. We do that a lot, especially with our Wild dog. We want to make sure that we're giving it to the right person at the right time in their life and make sure the personalities fit. So at least with the Wild dog, I have a year or so with the dog to understand the dog's personality and where the dog is going to be in a year from now.
Mm-hmm.
And then to be able to take that time and find the right person and interview the correct people for that dog to make sure that they're going to be the correct fit.
Does that rest solely on you or Wayne? Are you guys involved in some of the interviewing, or how do you do
it? No, we rely solely on Soldier 6, but we usually ask they can pick a Wild fan, that would be great.
Yes, right. So one of the criteria,
we want to see the dogs again. And if they're a Wild fan, they're going to come back with the dog.
They're going to come back in the game, yeah.
And Nick's an example of that, big Wild fan.
Yeah.
So we get to see Brooks.
And they always get first-class treatment, don't they, when they come walking in?
Yes. Oh, Lord, do they ever.
Did they get issued a special Wild jersey, too, then? Or? Well, actually, I mean the dogs, not the people.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Actually, the dogs do get a Wild jersey. Yeah.
Well, I mean, what a great deal. And obviously, you know, you did training ahead of this though. So you did actual canine training as well.
Correct.
And so I'm imagining that just really was the foundation. And then, you know, you continue on here with Soldier
Absolutely,
Six.
Absolutely, yeah. From being a canine handler and a canine trainer. And then also on top of that as a field training officer, training new officers. That for all of us trainers, we're all in the same boat. We understand human way of learning. We understand the dog way of learning. So
yeah,
bring it all together. That's how we can get the job done.
Well, we've got 30 seconds here. I would imagine that even though you're working, in a sense, two full-time jobs, the time you get to spend with the dogs or here with the Minnesota Wild, it really isn't a lot like working, is it?
No, it's not. There's nothing that comes close to this. It's not work. It's great. You know, and some of the Wild staff laugh and go, you got off at 2 o'clock in the morning, you're here at 8 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, yeah, here we are.
Yeah, the dogs give some good motivation. Well, Wayne, what another great partnership.
Yeah.
And it's just great to see kind of this progression of, you know, how the dogs are going into shelter and how now they're being training. And then our next segment, we're going to talk about someone who actually received one of the dogs. Looking forward to that. Well, Mike, hey, thanks so much for what you do supporting our veteran community and obviously training these dogs and the partnership you have with the Minnesota Wild. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Minnesota Wild. Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Doug Wortham, and today we're recording live on location here at the Minnesota Wild headquarters in St. Paul. I have Wayne Peterson with me, who's the Minnesota Wild Senior Director in Community Relations and Hockey Partnerships. And in this last segment, we're bringing in Nick Leach, who was a recipient of one of the Minnesota Wild service dogs, as well as was surprised with a road trip with the Minnesota Wild. So, Nick, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks for having me.
Good to have you here. And, you know, let's first say thank you for your service. I know that you served in the Army and spent several years, obviously, in the Army, deployed to Iraq. So thank you so much for that.
Thank you.
Let's talk about Brooksy, because that's really why we're here, right?
that's why I get to go anywhere, because of Brooksy. So
for you as a service member, being eligible to receive a service dog, what did it mean to you to receive Brooksy? And then obviously, you know, you're a big Wild fan anyway, but so this whole relationship, what has it meant to you?
First of all, the whole experience from beginning to end with Soldier 6 was like super fast. Like, it was way faster than I thought it was going to be. I was going through a difficult time. My wife and I were dealing with another foster dog that we had, and it wasn't working out. And, like, it was really difficult on my wife and I to have to give up the foster dog that we had. And so I was like, I got to figure out a way to make this right for me, because, like, losing this dog is wrecking me.
Yeah.
And struggling with kind of all the other things that we struggle with on a daily basis. And so I reached out to Soldier 6 and did like their whole application process and vetting process and talked to Ed and talked to Dana. And like the whole thing was just, it was just kind of surreal. And then Ed called me during a Wild game, actually. We were watching it together on the phone while we were talking. And started yelling at the TV at the same time for something that was going on. I don't even know.
Was it a penalty kill?
I don't know what it was. I have no idea.
It was a missed trip call.
Something that happened, and we were yelling about something. And he was like, oh, you like the Wild? And I was like, I love hockey. I love the Wild. I play hockey. And then, like, 20 minutes later, he called me back and said, hey, go look at Brooksy and let me know what you think. And then I was like, it was match made in heaven from then on. Like, he's a beautiful dog. He does so many things that make my life better. I can't imagine it without him.
And so you've got three daughters, right? And
I do.
So they must love the dog as
well. Yeah, he's funny because Brooksy's, you know, very particular about who he likes and who he doesn't
like. Yes, he is. Very particular.
Well, I noticed he likes you a lot, Wayne.
Well, he's the only person other than me that I've ever seen him, like, take off and run towards. I mean, it's unbelievable. But so he's super shy, but once he lets you in, like, you're in, and, you know, my family and my have embraced him, and he, after a couple of minutes, it's almost like 10-second Tom, you know, it's like, I don't remember. Oh, now I remember you. And then he lets him pet him. And so,
so you shared the story then of really how it happened. I mean, you're just on the phone and next thing you know, you're being told to go check out Brooksy.
Yeah, it was so weird because it was like a 2-hour conversation probably. Like they do a really good job of like getting to know who you are and what your personality is like. And do you have a background with dogs? Cause they're not going to just give this precious cargo to just any schmo off the street that says, you know, I want a dog. So it's a real intense process. And then we happen to be watching the game. And then like 20 minutes later, Ed calls me and he was like, hey, this is Ed. And I was like, I remember, we just talked.
Your memory's not that bad.
Wasn't it like 20 minutes ago? He's like, yeah. And then he brought up the Brooksy thing, and I went on Instagram and checked him out, and he's just a beautiful dog. So,
and now you play for the Warriors?
I do, yes.
Okay, and so what's that like?
It is quite possibly the best experience playing hockey that I've had in my life. I played hockey growing up. I played high school hockey, and then went to college. Didn't play college hockey, played football instead. That's a long story.
and we only have a few minutes.
Yeah, so then I got deployed and came back, and I was just looking for, like, something else. Like, you get so used to being around a certain type of people when you're deployed and when you're in the military, and, like, I didn't have that anymore. Like, I have lots of great friends, I'm not saying that, but, like, it's just different. And anybody that's in knows. And, like, if you have the opportunity to come out and skate with the Warriors, you know, I recommend it highly. Like, the camaraderie and the relationships that we've built, that I've built because of it, is just incredible.
So Minnesota Warriors been with them for about 10 years. And in the last couple of minutes that we have here, I do want to talk about the road trip. So we know that on the Minnesota Wilds Military Appreciation Night, you were surprised with the trip. Where did you get to go? And what was that experience like for you?
We went to Detroit. I took my wife. We went to the road.
You made
you
the
took
right
your
decision.
Wife and,
yeah.
And
well,
good
Brooksy
decision.
Is,
and Brooksy.
I don't get to go anywhere without Brooksy. Like, he's the reason I get to go anywhere I get to go.
Yeah.
and so he came along, and we went to Detroit, and the experience was unbelievable from beginning to end. Like, my wife and I still talk about, like, how well-oiled the machine is, and like how it's just like bam, 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 and you just, there's no waiting, you just go and you just do whatever they need you to do. And it was just a great experience from beginning to end. The game was great. It was the first game out of the Four Nations break.
Oh yeah,
we had the big third period comeback. Foligno scores right in front of where our seats are to tie the game, and then Rossi whiffs on it in overtime and wins it. So like, it was a great experience all around.
Yeah.
As great as the hockey was, the dinner on Friday night was the highlight of the trip.
So okay, what was the dinner?
It was at this fancy steakhouse in Detroit, and like you were sitting with all of, you know, like the Matt was there, and Bill Guerin stopped down and talked to us, and it was just an amazing night.
Yeah, they know how to do it. And the one thing that I learned, and I think I shared this with you at the Military Appreciation Night, is when they say the bus is leaving at 11 p.m., like, the bus is rolling at 11 p.m.
Yeah.
And when you get on the plane, it's like, hey, all right, prepare for departure. And you're already heading down the runway. I mean, it's crazy. They just move out.
I'm glad Nick brought up the dinner, because a little birdie told me you had a 40-ounce steak.
I may have had a 40-ounce steak, yeah.
You were 40, able to eat that?
40-ounce tomahawk. There was nothing but bone left when I left the table. So
I could eat that in maybe four meals.
Gosh. Maybe Facebook photo of me gnawing on the bone, actually. So.
Wow. Man, that's fantastic. So what does it mean to you, though, to realize that there's this great partnership from Coco's to Soldier 6 to the Minnesota Wild, and you being a part of all of that? What does it mean to you as a service member and someone who needed to have a service dog for the things that you are dealing with?
It's incredibly humbling, really, when you think about all of the people that are involved and the care and respect and the love that they put into what they're doing to give guys like me this opportunity. Like, I wake up every day, and he's sitting at the end of the bed waiting for, you know, to go to school with me, you know, and so.
Because you're a teacher.
Yeah. And every day he comes, like, and he helps me. He helps my colleagues. He helps, you know, the students that are struggling. Like, it's more, it's more than just me that is impacted by all the relationships that you've talked about today on the show. Like, yeah, I'm the most directly affected by all of it, but like everybody that's in my circle as a part of it. He comes to the Warrior games and hangs out on the bench with the guys. Like, he's a hockey dog through and through.
And so being a Minnesota Wild fan for the number of years you have been, that's really the icing on the cake to be able to be treated like this from our Minnesota Wild.
And, you know, and that's part of the reason why I come back so often. You know, Wayne had mentioned that, like, Brooksy comes back the most. But that's part of why. It's like, I need him to understand, you know, how much I appreciate it and how much, you know, it means to me. So,
well, Nick, we appreciate you. And again, thanks for your service. And thanks for just spending a little time with us here. Truly appreciate it. So, Wayne, you get the last 30 seconds. Final thoughts about the whole program and everything going on.
It's more than I ever dreamed it would be. And it's been an incredible experience for my wife and I to foster the last four. And if she's listening, we're going to foster the next one, too.
It has been decided right here on the show.
Minnesota Military Radio.
But
it's been an honor, and it's been great getting to meet people like Nick and Mike and Ashley and Ed and Dana. It's a great relationship.
Well, that's awesome. Well, Wayne, thanks so much for sharing with us. Thanks for all that the Minnesota Wild do to take care of our veterans, our service
members.
Very proud
to do so.
Really appreciate it. This is Doug Wortham with Minnesota Military Radio, and we were down here at the Minnesota Wild headquarters learning about the Minnesota Wild Team Dog Program. So before we close out today's show, I want to say thanks to the Minnesota Wild for hosting us here at their headquarters in St. Paul and giving us the opportunity to learn about their Wild Team Dog Program. We appreciate what they do to support our Minnesota veterans and service members. I'd also like to say thanks to you for listening to Minnesota Military Radio. We appreciate your continued support. We strive to bring you quality content each week and look forward to hearing your feedback and suggestions for future topics and guests. Please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com, click on Contact Us to send us your thoughts. Join us next week when we'll hear from the Magnus Veterans Foundation and check in with the Order of the Purple Heart. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Doug Wortham, your host on Minnesota Military Radio. I hope you have a productive week and you find a way to thank and honor those who have and those who continue to serve and sacrifice so we can enjoy the liberty and freedom this great country has to offer.